Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug, it was good to see you in Austin last week.
Yeah, man. That was a killer time had by all.
When is your show in the Red Room?
It's tonight, which it will be too late to plug.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure to get that in case we had any time travelers listening to the show.
Hey, well, maybe. You never know.
Go back, yeah, because today is Thursday. Thursday, November 2nd, 2023. And our guest today is a dude I've been friends with for a while who is currently in the midst of directing his first feature film. His name is Kevin Kraft with 2 K's, so that's an alliteration name. I was trying to think of if we've had anybody on already that's got. We must have had somebody that has an alliterated last name and first name, right?
But this one seems probably not 2 K's though. That seems doubtful.
I was trying to think of other ones like. Alan Alda, Barry Bonds, Cassius Clay, Donnie Darko. And then I got stuck at EE. I couldn't think of one for EE.
Think of like any comic book hero. I believe we've talked about that on the show. Like Peter Parker. But who's an E?
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, and then Farrah Fawcett, Gary Goldman. I think I could do almost any letter except for E is a real stumper. But we'll see. We'll see if Kevin has any ideas being somebody with a name like that.
He probably has a whole word bank of names of alliteration.
Right, he'll just have it ready to go. So let's go to work. You know, it's like I hear something new in that song every time I listen to it. It's really textured and complex. Hello, Kevin Kraft. How are you?
I am fantastic, Dougs.
Welcome. Welcome to the program and meet the other Doug. His name's Doug Mellard. That's Kevin Kraft. Say hi, fellas.
What up, what
Hello.
Up?
You guys are getting along great already. So... if you had to guess, how long do you think you've known each other at this point?
37 seconds.
You think it's been that long?
Depends on where we started the timer.
Let's look at the timer. I don't have a timer. So thank you for being here, Kevin. And just to catch up the other Doug and the listeners, you and I have known each other for how long, do you think?
Probably 12 years or so, I would say.
Yeah, probably in that neighborhood. We met because you were working at Sirius Radio on the Jason Ellis show.
Yeah.
As a, like, what would you consider your role on that show?
I mean, it bounced around a bunch. Like, when I first started, I was just the call screener. Then I was a producer, and when they started counting on me to bring in guests, you were one of the first people that I reached out to. And then at the end of my time with the show, I was a co-host.
Yeah. But also along the way, because you were, you know, just a screener, but like you were sort of a personality on the show. I don't know how quickly that happened. Like but I assume it was fairly fast because, you know, that's all I know of that show as is a show where, you know, you'd come in and speak frequently. And, but like you sort of became like the, like a lot of radio shows, like sort of a punching bag of sorts.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think I was originally supposed to be temporary. I think when I first moved out to LA, which was close to 13 years ago, they had a producer quit on them and, you know, they were asking around corporate and they sent me in to fill in for a week. But I think because I was so psychotic and willing to do anything they asked, they kept bringing me back. And then it just became permanent.
Right. That's the thing, is that you were willing to put up with abuse. So that made it, you know, gave them the green light to just come up with crazy shit, to make you do. And so what would you say, looking back on it, was the craziest or worst thing that you had to do because they asked you to?
Cool. I mean the shock collar bikini was,
oh my god.
That was not fun. I had,
so it was a like a bra and panty set, but they had shocks in them.
Only the panties.
Oh, okay. Ooh. But you had to wear the whole outfit like it was a bikini.
Yeah, it was actually at one of our live shows on stage in Vegas, and they,
oh, okay,
I put on, you know, like a banana hammock, and they put a shock collar on my junk, one on my grundle, and then one right betwixt my butt cheeks. And then they gave controls out to people in the audience and they zapped the shit out of me.
Hey, Doug, do you have any tattoos on your grundle?
I do not, but I was just excited to hear betwixt my butt cheeks. You don't hear that pairing of words
the
much.
Whole, all of it was really, really fun. So then, because I was there one time and you had like a shock collar on and they gave me the shock button and I was like, you know, like I had real mixed feelings about shocking you, but you didn't seem to mind it so much. So then I think that's what happened with them and with me and with your entire, the basis of your career is you just being willing to put up with stuff and then people then give you more stuff.
Yeah, I was pretty fun at parties back in the day.
Sounds like it.
You know, back when I could still hang.
But also the shock thing, like as uncomfortable as it probably was, it's, you know, each time they shock you, there's a kind of a temporariness to it, or did it really hurt?
They definitely suck, but I believe when we had you on, we were playing Shock Collar Pictionary, and when you're drawing and getting shocked by the other team, it can get quite aggressive and your body builds up a tolerance pretty quickly. So I would say within, you know, the first 2 minutes of getting shocked by those things, towards the mm-hmm. end, you're not feeling it.
Well, it's like they even have like, you know, those little discs that they stick on you, like for if you have back issues or something, where it kind of is a combination shock massage therapy kind of thing. And, oh, yeah. You know, and those things are always like, at first it's like, oh, that kind of hurts. But then it kind of feels good. You know, it's good. Transitions with each pulse. So you do sort of get used to it.
Yeah. And before I got into radio, I was an electrician and I had been zapped accidentally by high voltage in the past. So once you go through that, you know, a little dog shock on the neck is, that's a walk in the park.
Right. How bad were you electrocuted?
It wasn't terrible. I mean, it was technically high voltage because I think it was 277, but we were demoing an office that was partially shut down. So just on the other side of the tarp, people were working in the area that we weren't touching. So, you know, it was like a drop ceiling with those big square neon lights. So where the wires connected, you know, I had my little wand to see if the wires are still alive or not. And I took the wire nuts off and I went to grab them to shove them up through the connector so I could take the light down. And yeah, on a sensor circuit. So someone walked by a motion detector right as I grabbed all the wires and turned it back on. And that blew me right off the ladder. And all the people came rushing in. They're like, what happened? We heard a woman scream.
We heard you scream, you like a lady. So when you see the little kid get electrocuted by the fence in Jurassic Park, does that really, you really relate to that sequence?
Yeah.
Because it's so funny. The kid like is on an electric fence and gets electrocuted and falls off, right? And then they really do the thing where they make his hair stand up like that's how
electricity
got. So did your hair look like that?
It didn't, but I don't remember this, but apparently when I was in kindergarten, I got a nightlight while we were at the supermarket, and I went to my room and went to plug it in, but my fingers were still touching, the little prongs to go into the outlet. Yeah. And my aunt says I got blown clean across the room and my hair was standing straight up when she came.
Oh my God.
I don't remember.
It's probably realistic, but it felt in the movie, it just felt like cartoony, for him to look like that. But it was also making fun of him a little bit,
I electrocuted myself once and my hair was definitely just straight up. It was crazy. And my hand was black.
So funny.
I looked like a cartoon character.
How did you get zapped?
I was very young. I was 38, and I stuck an industrial staple into an outlet. I was like 4 or something. But yeah, I just stuck a staple right on the outlet and learned that lesson.
That's a real, as a child, you had to really go out of your way to make that happen.
Yeah, I sure did.
Like, that was really interesting. Like, what's going to happen when I put this in here? So during the history of my other podcast, Doug Loves Movies, we've had one guest host in the entire run of the series. Doug, do you have a guess who that would be?
I'm going to guess Kevin, because I didn't do it.
That's right. It would just be a really weird thing to bring up during a chat with Kevin. But yeah, Kevin Kraft filled in for me when I was sitting around in a stupid hospital with a kidney stone situation.
Ooh.
And, it was just last minute enough. What do you think? Yeah, I gave you the call like the night before or something like that?
No, I think it was the day of.
Day of. Like, tonight, can you show up at UCB and host Doug Loves Movies? You have to do all the planning and you got to figure out what the games are going to be and all that stuff. And you accepted the challenge. Do you remember who the guests were?
It was Matt Bettinelli Open, who directed the newer Scream movies.
Oh, at that time, what did he have directed then? Like Ready or Not or something?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. He had directed he was there to promote some horror movie he directed pre-Scream.
And I think it might have been the guy from that was Badger in Breaking Bad. I think.
Oh, Matt Jones. He's great.
And then I can't remember if it was Clark Wolf or Ricky Lindholm.
Oh, they're both terrific frequent guests, so they would be good.
But yeah, that was, for as long as I've been doing talk radio and stuff in front of crowds, that was one of the more nerve-wracking experiences. Usually when you text me and you ask if I'm free at a certain time, it's to be a guest, and then you're like, okay, cool, I'm in the hospital, can you host? And I was like, no.
Yeah, it's and it turned out I didn't need to, I could have done it. Like, I was just sitting in the hospital for no reason because I had a rare case of a kidney stone that just sort of went away on its own recognizance. It was released without bail.
They're no joke, though. I've been in the hospital with a kidney stone before, and they are not fun.
No, it's a huge bummer. And I don't know why they just don't tell you earlier on in life that, like, if you do eat anything that's got a lot of salt in it, just also drink a lot of water is the advice I got, you know, when it was too late. Cause I know people that drink a lot of soda pop, you know, a lot of cola, they tend to get, do you think that's why you got a kidney stone? Cause that is a reason it happens to people, supposedly.
No, I'm not a soda drinker. So it was definitely too much salt, not enough water.
Yeah, too much salt intake is not good. So, because I guess that's essentially what it is—just a little chunky salt sitting in there that you know, doesn't know which hole to head towards.
it always picks the tiny one.
It got bad directions. well, so thank you for doing that, and I assume that you'll be the only person to ever guest host the show, because as long as I can do it, I'm happy to. Although it might be fun, I think one time I had Sam Levine come up with some games, and I participated as a guest during the games portion of the show. Yeah. But he didn't do a full-blown hosting like you did. But now, moving on to your current job, which is that of motion picture director, and your movie, much like our friend Doug Mellard had a movie come out. When did it come out? Like last year?
Yeah, December last year.
Yeah. And it's got the name of it. It's a mockumentary about a person, and their name is in the title. They went with the filmmakers of that, chose Toby Blackwood. But your movie is called The Second Coming of John Cooper?
Yes. Yep.
How did you arrive at, you know, how did that become the title of the movie? Is it just because that's a good explanation for that it's about the comeback of a famous person?
Yeah, it was originally way worse. It was Riches to Rags, the John Cooper story. And I didn't go with that. Very corny.
But that is a fun way to say, you know, because that's like kind of a you know, a trope in a lot of comedies over the years, is the person who has money and then loses it all. Yeah. And then usually it's kind of a happy ending where they either get it back or realize that they didn't, you know, need it in the first place. But I don't want you to spoil the ending on this one. But what about the name John Cooper? How did you arrive at that?
I was kind of thinking along the lines of, like, you know, a lot of famous people, Sigourney Weaver aside, tend to have fairly normal names.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to pick something simple that also had the JC initials.
Right. Okay.
You know, a little bit of a commentary on celebrity worship and all that stuff. So
yeah,
a whole biblical second coming JC just seems simple enough.
Yeah. Are you concerned at all that people will, or is it okay if people take the title in a sexual way?
Oh no, that's totally all right. I mean, it is a raunchy R-rated comedy. So anywhere you find a double entendre, you keep it.
Is there a second and third and fourth? Is there a lot of coming in the film?
Yeah, there is one. There's one, and then there's a fake one.
If there's going to be a second, right?
Yeah,
you got to get the party started. Well, congratulations on you know, getting that off the ground and getting you know, everybody involved on board with it being a you know, getting the waiver from SAG-AFTRA. The strike is still raging on as of right now. The last couple of days, though, the media has been really pushing this idea that the negotiations have been going well, but there still isn't as of press time, as they say. We don't know yet if anything has happened.
Yeah, I was going to the picket lines I went on Halloween and yesterday for the big one at Disney. And from what I've seen from SAG emails and stuff, it seems like the last thing they're hammering out is the AI. I think right. That's the last standing issue.
Right, because that's the one that they really see the dollar signs, the producers just getting somebody's image and then just doing whatever the hell you want with it in perpetuity was what they wanted. So it'll be interesting to see not only what they come up with, but also the language of it, because I'm sure that that's probably what's going back and forth, is that the producers can really fudge with the wording so that they can get away with stuff later, you know?
Yeah.
It's real sneaky business. It's really a weird. That's how I got into SAG after in the first place, you know, when they were separate. After it was easy to get into because you just had to appear on a TV show. But with SAG, you had to be like on a sitcom or a movie or something to get into SAG. But they have very strict rules about new members so that basically the whole world of, you know, American movie acting is just sort of like you have to use these people that are in this union. So to get into SAG, you have to have a speaking role in something. But to get a speaking role in something, you have to be in SAG. So it's this weird catch-22 that happens to every actor who wants to work in movies and TV. But I was an extra in something where they put in dialogue later as if it was coming from me and the other extras. And they're not allowed to do that because they could pay us as extras instead of actors and then just put the voices in later. And so that was the loophole that got me into SAG.
Oh, wow.
Why did I tell that story? Anyway. I'm just saying that it's a good union and strict and difficult to get into. And so now that I'm in it, I'm, of course, completely behind the strike. And thanks, Kevin, for going out there, putting yourself on the line, because it is the days are warm. What else is bad about it? I can't think of anything else.
I mean, it's cool to get, you know, 15,000 steps out of the way right in the beginning of the day.
So you really counted your steps?
No, I, you know, to get the little health app.
Yeah, but you like turned it on to see how many you'd get in picketing back and forth.
I did. Yeah, I'm a natural born wuss. And my doctor is telling me that, you know, now that I'm in my 40s, I got to exercise more and take care of like my cholesterol and shit. And it's like every time I do a push up, my fucking neck hurts and everything's falling apart. And it's like, all right, if I can walk 15,000 steps in a day and that counts, I'll take that rather than going to the gym. Yeah,
it does. It's any movement is good. But then, you know what they say about like cardio is like important. So just walking around with a picket sign is probably because also they get so crowded out there with the you got to picket in areas where they have traffic lights. So everybody sort of gets jacked up. You end up doing a lot of just standing in one spot, too, in addition to marching around. Do they do a lot? Do they do like chants and stuff at the ones you've been to? Because you know, I know it's to sort of disrupt what's going on inside of the place they're picketing, but I'm just by nature, I don't enjoy a chant.
They did at I literally just got into SAG because of the second coming of John Cooper. So
because you had to cast yourself.
Yeah,
that's so funny because that's the thing is that that's the loophole is that SAG, you know, says if you're going to use a non-SAG actor, it has to be, you know, no one else could have played the role. So you just wrote into the script lines for the director to say in the movie.
They were chill with me making a cameo. it's a very, very small character with two lines in the movie. So I was like, all right, if I kind of squeaked in the back door to get into SAG, I'm going to go hit the picket lines and do my part.
That's great. I love all of that. Like, it's so cool that you're, you know, now a member, but then also taking responsibility for it. So that's nice.
I mean, there is a bit of imposter syndrome that has come with this whole journey. You know, like you know, I did radio for close to 17 years. And then, you know, I make a movie. I've the script that I've written for the past 5 years and bring on a team. And the only reason I directed was because there wasn't money in the budget to pay somebody who knew what they were doing. So I'm on this set with all these young kids out of film school, and everybody knows exactly what they're doing. And here struts in Kevin Jerkoff Kraft to sit in the director's seat.
How did they know your full name?
It was on my name tag.
Listen.
We're gonna get to your middle name later.
Yeah. Slow down, jerk off. We're gonna get to that in a bit. That's what I was gonna say, is we are gonna talk about your name, one part of it at a time, but we've already blown out like half the episode already just chatting about other stuff. So we're gonna take a commercial break, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna ask you some more questions before we get into your name. So let's do that. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back, and we're barely into it. Let's do the warm-up cues. We should have, like, a music sting for that. Not really. How many... So you did the research and listened to the show a little bit, Kevin?
I did, yeah.
Sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Yeah, we just don't know if a guest is going to take the time, and I wouldn't blame them if they didn't, you know, so, you know, and it works out good for us if they didn't, because then we can kind of surprise them with the questions and the direction it goes in. But it's also not, we're not here to do gotcha journalism or journalism at all. So the first question is tattoos. What's your number?
Ooh, whole bunch.
Now, see, you listen to the show, so you could have had an answer for this. Have you really lost track?
They kind of blended together into half sleeves.
Oh, okay.
So that really muddied the number up.
Yeah. No, that just gets too tricky to figure out. If you just are like connecting everything to each other on an arm. So it's mostly the two arms, and is there leg too?
Oh yeah. I have, I think what they call a sock that goes from the knee to the foot. I have,
it doesn't go all the way up to the grundle.
No, I'm saving that for my 50s.
Yeah. When you have those ugly veins anyway, you might as well pretty them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so
but I've got my feet, I have my toes, I have a tramp stamp, I have one on my ass.
You wear a lot of clothes though.
I do, yeah.
I don't really think I've seen any of them. Maybe a little bit of the arms peeking out from underneath the t-shirt.
Yeah, like I said, I'm very sneaky, and it comes as a surprise to people a lot when they see just how many tattoos I have.
Do you have a jokey tramp stamp, or is it just a tattoo that happens to be right there?
It was bad timing. So when I was 19, 20, I worked at McDonald's, and my buddies and I, anytime we had like our bank accounts built up like a couple hundred spare dollars, we would go to the tattoo parlor and just pick something off the wall. And this was right before tramp stamps started becoming a thing. And it's, I have a lot of dumb tattoos, but it's one of the dumbest. It's just like some stupid yellow scorpion alien looking thing. And it,
just there guarding your crack.
I even sometimes forget it's there, and then like I'll go to the beach with somebody and take my shirt off, and they'll be like, "Whoa, the hell is that?" Oh yeah, forgot about that fucking stupid thing.
Yeah, it's the back tattoo is always interesting to me. How like little you'd just see them in your life, probably, unless you had really fancy bathroom where there's, you know, mirrors in every direction or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my third tattoo was done in a similar situation where it was me and my McDonald's buddies. We had $150 in the bank, so we were like, all right, time to be irresponsible and blow it. And I saw this thing on the wall that was done in red ink, and it looked like kind of like a monster face, like a little skull thing with flames coming off of it. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna get that and put it on my calf, in the back of my calf. And the guy finished doing the outline of it, and then he was like, do you want all the other little sperms in here too? And I was like, sperm? What the fuck? And I looked down. It's not a flaming skull. It's a giant evil sperm.
Oh, my God. Did you go ahead and get all the other little sperms?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, ah, fuck it. We're already in. Just throw all the little spermies in, too.
Wow. And is that one you've been sort of buried amongst other things, or is it still prominent?
No, it's still there. I have to get it covered, but let's see. I got that when I was 19 and I'm 41. I've had more than enough time to cover it, and I just haven't.
That is a wild one. That is so funny. I thought it was going to be
I've actually got the same tattoo. Sorry. What are you going to say?
It's just a popular one out there. All right. So you're used to, with the tattoos, you're used to, permanence, selecting something and then, you know, living with it for good or for bad. Have you personally had the opportunity to name any pets? Have you had any family or personal pets that you got to give them a name?
Yeah, I've had a few pets that I've named.
What's an example?
I had two sugar gliders named Razor and Gizmo.
Which, those things are the cutest damn things that ever existed. And you're not supposed to have them, though, right?
No, and I can talk about them freely now because they died. But I got them when I still lived in Jersey, and I had to smuggle them into California past an agricultural checkpoint. And I just told the guy as I went through that they were chinchillas. I like Googled what animals are legal as pets.
Yeah, and
I was like, oh, please don't check, please don't check. And he's like, all right, welcome to California.
Yeah, welcome to California with your extremely, like, maybe baby chinchillas. Maybe I could buy that. But you know what I mean? Isn't a chinchilla much bigger than a sugar glider?
Yeah, I threw a blanket over the cage in the back seat.
Oh.
He saw the imprint. He's like, oh, what's in the cage? I was like, oh, chinchillas. He's like, all right, cool.
You just got to be brazen about it and get a guy who wouldn't know the difference, I guess, if he saw it. Because also, like, in his job, like, what does he care if it's leaving New Jersey?
Right.
Or is he...
This was the border to California.
The border to get into California? Like where? Yeah, like Arizona?
Yeah, because they're legal in Jersey. That's where I got them.
Right, okay. But even like in Arizona, they're probably illegal there, you think?
I don't think anybody is as big of a stickler about some of that shit as California is, because we didn't hit any agricultural checkpoints until from New Jersey to California. It was just California.
Yeah, I would say. And also, just like, couldn't you just take a different road? It's interesting that somehow they can definitely get you, but then they also had a guy working there who clearly doesn't give a shit and isn't really looking for anything.
Yeah. And I mean, they were both neutered. And I think the big thing with California is they're worried that they'll escape captivity and then overbreed and destroy California's citrus crops. But, you know, it was a male and a female.
That would be
a spade. Male was neutered. They weren't doing any porking.
But that'd be the most amazing ecological disaster. Like that, maybe that could even be a movie where somebody brings a sugar glider in and they finds another one and they mate. And yeah, like, cause they're so cute, but like, I could see them ravaging crops would be unpleasant.
Dude, it's happened. There's a park in Pasadena where wild sugar gliders kind of have their claim on it.
What?
So could you go there and meet a sugar glider, or are they like only come out at night, that kind of thing?
Well, they are nocturnal. I've never been there, but I heard this like when I first moved to LA that yeah, someone's pets escaped. They bred and they just stay in this park in Pasadena.
Wow. That's really trippy. Yeah, I just want to go and just like, where would they'd be up in the trees or in the bushes? Like, where would they hang out?
Yeah, in the trees.
Because they're called gliders because they can straight up just kind of sort of fly from tree to tree.
Yeah. Yeah. They have webbing like flying squirrels. They're like a cross. If you crossed a chipmunk and a flying squirrel. Can you guys hear the leaves? Should I go shut my door?
No, we can't hear it. No, it's crazy. It's crazy how good the mics are on these things now. Because I got a leaf blower. He's out there every week when we do the show, and nobody ever notices. He wasn't there this week. He was out there yesterday for some reason. It was a day early. I don't know what threw the guy off. But I'm just fascinated with these sugar gliders. I'm sure Doug is as well, because they're so incredibly cute. And the ones that you had, did you like train them to do anything, or were they basically, and them being nocturnal, like, would you have to like wake them up to play with them? Like, how does that work? What's the owner pet relationship like with a sugar glider?
So my mom actually got the first one. She was at some craft fair and saw some guy standing by one of the booths with like, little furry creatures running all over them. And she thought that they were, have you ever seen those fake ferrets that like are on a string and you can kind of pull it and it looks like it's crawling all around you?
Yeah.
She thought it was one of those. And when she got up close and saw that it was like a real creature, she fell hook, line and sinker for the sales pitch, bought one. And you get them when they're babies, cause they have to bond to you. And it takes about 4 to 8 weeks of them just completely flipping out, screaming, attacking you. And then once they finally bond to you, like, you can go on YouTube and see videos, like someone will be in their backyard, they'll put their sugar glider down, they'll run across the yard to the other side, and this thing will beeline it straight to them, run up their leg. Like, they do bond very closely to you. But this sugar glider, I was only there one day a week at my mom's house, and this thing only bonded to me. It hated everybody in the house but me. So she was just like, yeah, fuck it, why don't you take this thing, you're the only person it likes. And when, like you said, they're nocturnal, so I kept it in my bathroom in my apartment, and in the middle of the night it would wake up and it would run in its wheel and it would screech and like do its like little call for attention thing. And I was like, all right, I got to get a second one so this thing has some company. And then I would be woken up in the middle of the night by two sugar gliders chirping and yelling for attention.
And it is, and it's really, really loud and annoying.
Yeah, they chirp. They're like, they almost sound like chihuahuas. They're like, yipe, 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 yipe.
Yeah, they're crazy.
But then what kind of attention do you have to give them?
I mean,
they like to be held, or what do they like to do?
Yeah, they want to be held. They want to be pet. They're like little crackheads for the first few years you have them. And then they get very, very mellow, where like literally all they wanted to do for about the last 8 years of their lives was sit with me while I watch TV and just curl up in my hand.
Wow.
And, you know, I used to have to travel a lot for work when I was with the show. You know, we would do, you know, road gigs and stuff. So, you know, I couldn't leave them home alone. And, you know, you ask somebody, hey, will you watch my sugar gliders? And their heads explode. And I hope I'm not throwing them under the bus, but I had our mutual friend Dustin Ibarra watch them for a weekend when I had to go out of town. And he was like, dude, I don't know what the fuck these things are.
Just crawling around in his hair. I had a buddy call me crying once. He was sobbing. And this is a very stoic friend. I've never heard him cry. So I'm panicked. I know something horrible has happened. And then I go, hey, buddy, just calm down. And when you get a second, catch a breath and then tell me exactly what happened. And he finally calms down. And then he just says, Sarah died. And I panic. I'm like, I know he has a sister. Oh, my God. I guess his sister died. Like, I'm trying to figure out who Sarah is because I don't know that name. And then I was like, oh, what happened? And he says, well, she was flying around and then she just flew in the toilet and drowned. And I was like, oh, it's your fucking sugar glider? And like, still sad, but way less sad than a sister dying, you know? So there was like panic and relief at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing I was told when I got them. That was like, keep your lid shut at all times.
Yeah.
They will jump in a toilet and they cannot get out.
Wow. Apparently. And when you go to the bathroom, you just shut the door.
Yeah.
Because that'd be horrible to have them jump in and drown while you're peeing on them at the same time.
Brutal.
They like water?
Not being in it, no.
Oh, okay. So when they jump in the toilet, they really just don't, they're just jumping around. They didn't realize what they were getting into.
Yeah, completely accidental. And yeah, that, I mean, what a way to go out, drowning while getting pissed on by a giant. That is,
yeah,
that's terrible. High on my list of ways I do not want to die.
Been there.
So that must have really, like, was your life just turned upside down by having pets that wanted to play in the middle of the night?
A little bit. Towards the end, like when they get a little older, they sleep damn near around the clock. And the female, she died, I think, 3 years before the male did. And the last few months he was alive, he would wake me up at like 5 o'clock in the morning chirping. And I would just scoop him up in my hand, go to bed and fall back asleep. And he would just stay in my hand. Cause I think they know when their time is up. So I think he was just trying to get his, last bit of quality time in.
That's very sweet. All right. The other question we ask before we get to your name, which we really need to get to, but as all this stuff is fascinating. Wait, Gizmo? Excuse me, Gizmo and...
Razor.
Razor.
Razor. So was that like... like that was the intention to have the Z letter in both names?
No, it was actually accidental. Like when I was a little kid, there was this Nintendo game called Maniac Mansion that I really liked. And there was this girl character, Razor. And then there was the sugar gliders look so much like Mogwais. I was like, all right, if I get a guy for the second one, he has to be named Gizmo.
Yeah, they really have those big eyes.
Yeah.
And they're so adorable when they blink. Okay. So you named those, did you name both of them or one came with the name?
No, I named them both.
Oh, okay. Cause you get them that young initially that you can just, it's not like you went to a shelter.
No, they have to be, you have to get them when they're like 5 weeks old, I think, or else they won't bond to anybody. So you have to get them young while they're still looking to bond.
And I swear I'll move on, but are they popular to own in New Jersey?
No. Nope.
Oh, because they're such a pain in the ass, ultimately.
No, I mean, I think it's just because they're so, you don't see, like when pet shops were a thing, you didn't really see them in there. And they're, I don't know why they're not more known, because they are really, really adorable. But people would see it sometime and freak out and think I had an alien as a pet.
No, it is real. It is like a little monster. It's super cute, but it's like really, it's unusual. It's really crazy. So now, do you want another one, or are you good on that? You've had that experience.
I really do, but it is nice having the freedom because, you know, I do like to travel. I do like to go to the East Coast to see my family, and it is a pain in the ass finding anybody willing to watch a sugar glider who will also still do a good job.
Right. Because they didn't bond with it in that first 5 weeks.
No, once they're bonded, they'll be chill with other people, but like people are afraid to hold them. They're kind of delicate to take care of. So
yeah,
much like wise, they come with a set of rules, and it's nice to travel with
Hence Gizmo. I get Gizmo now.
somebody has access to the internet. this whole time, Doug, were you just trying to picture what a sugar glider looks like?
Oh no, I know. I've been around them. They're so adorable.
Yeah, it's like it's too cute for words. Did I hold it when I visited you that one time and you had one?
You might have.
I think I might have, but I don't remember that part of it. I just remember seeing it in your home.
Well, we did smoke a lot of weed that day.
Yeah. Yeah. As you do when you're near do sugar gliders react to it? Like, did you blow it in their faces ever?
No, I'm not getting animals high kind of dude.
Yeah, well, you know, there's pet owners that claim their animals like it. I don't prescribe to it personally. But sometimes if you have a pet that runs over to you while you're doing it and starts biting at the smoke, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, I have seen that happen, but
yeah,
my luck, I would get the one sugar glider who's a narc.
Yeah, you don't need that. They're already they could already rat you out for just owning them.
I just pictured a sugar glider with a little like badge around his neck.
Yeah, sugar narc. So what about? Like, have you ever named anything else? Like, some people name inanimate objects or even cars and boats and things like that. Have you ever
committed a
name to something that normally doesn't get named?
Yeah, I've named weed paraphernalia in the past.
Right. You give a bong a name?
Yeah. I had Bong Jovi, James Bong, Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, stuff like that.
I can't believe you remember them all because they're all dead now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because especially when you name a bong, it's almost like asking for it to fall over and its neck to snap.
James Bong had a really good run, but yeah, Ozzy Osbourne I think got stolen.
I'm trying to think of if I've ever, I don't think I've ever named one. I mean, sometimes when you buy a bong, the person who made it has a cute name for it or something, but I don't think I've ever assigned one a name. But it's also because they come and go so fast sometimes, and they get too dirty for me to want to clean them.
Yeah. Which,
can you imagine if you were like that way with children? Like if they just got messy, you're just like, I'm just going to leave that one in the corner and move on to new ones.
Yeah, I want to see how much resin this child can build up before I clean it.
Oh man, they could get it gets so caked in there. I'm talking about pipes now. Okay. Well, congratulations on getting through the pre-interview, and now we're practically out of time, so I'm going to jump right to a couple of key things that I wanted to discuss with you about your name, and then we might have to have you back some other time.
I'd love to.
Because you have a thing that in the cold open I blithely announced that I couldn't think of any guests we've had on this show that have the first and last name alliteration of the same letter beginning both names. Because I know it's real tempting for parents of children when they go to name them, that if the last name begins with a certain letter, go ahead and give the first name that begins with the same letter.
Yeah, I'm a regular Kim Kardashian.
Oh, that's a good one. She hasn't been on this show, though. We thought of some ones. Producer Ryan thought of some ones that have been on this show. Eric Edelstein, Jenny Johnson, Joyelle Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I think people named Johnson love a good J sound because, you know, there's Jake Johnson and Jack Johnson. So I think that's just a, that seems kind of standard with the name Johnson. I'm glad with Benson, I didn't get like a, you know, Benjamin or something like that. I guess, yeah, Eric Edelstein is a good E one. That was where I was tripped up on E. And then Farrah Fawcett was my F. Gary Goldman is my G. It's just a funny sentence. Hubie Halloween is H. I wonder if there's an I. Igor, ooh. Igor. That I might be a tough one. Ike, Barinholtz, Ike. Yeah. Anyway, how did your parents, did they basically just say, let's go for it with the Kevin? Let's get that alliteration.
I think I was originally going to be a Paul, which
Paul Craft.
Yeah. Doesn't have a good ring to it. I don't think I have a Paul like face.
Yeah, it's just very basic.
Yeah.
Like, what's the name of the, I was trying to think of the guy named Kraft who's like rich and he owns like one of the sports franchise. He owns a football team or something.
Yeah, Robert Kraft. Cause I have an uncle, Robert Kraft. So when football Robert Kraft got jerked off, my uncle Rob was fielding a lot of press requests.
Oh, because what happened to him?
he got jacked off in a massage parlor.
Oh, his middle name is Jack Off too.
Runs in the family.
Robert Jerk Off Kraft. Oh man. Okay. So, but he's emerged though as like he's one of those very philanthropic rich dudes, right? Like he's one of the good ones, allegedly.
I think so. I only follow sports people really when they get jacked off.
Yeah, that's the only reason. That's the only reason to pay attention to them. What's interesting about them?
There's a lot of them.
Other than that. Well, they're all probably doing it, not getting caught or whatever. Like how, you know, he's so freaking rich to get caught doing something like that. But I guess that's part of the, maybe that was part of the appeal for him was the excitement of it being, illegal and probably shouldn't
been real loud.
Yeah. Somebody else in the same massage parlor couldn't finish, so he like called the police. Hey, there's something going butter. On. There's something going on in the room next to mine. It's a better hand job.
There's a sugar glider narc there.
Oh my god, those sugar gliders are such sneaky deaky narcs. Okay, so we're running out of time, so let me cut to another really interesting question to me. Because of the double K's, they stopped and thought about how your middle name shouldn't begin with K, correct?
Yeah, and that's when I was young, having the last name Kraft got a lot of macaroni and cheese jokes, but then as I got older and they're like, wait a second, two K's, what's the middle name? And it's like, yeah, my mom is not psychotic enough to name me Kevin Kyle Kraft or something like that.
So what did they go with?
They went with Jerkoff. No, they John. So it is John. A J.
Not Jonathan.
Nope, just J-O-H-N.
We've run across that recently too. And obviously John probably isn't for biblical reasons.
Not really. My family is pretty Catholic, but you know, not terribly overbearing.
Right, because we know that because Kevin is not a biblical name.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a Saint Kevin.
Kevin didn't, you know, they didn't let Kevin in the Bible. They were like, Kevin can wait. So KJK, that's kind of a fun, those are fun initials. It sounds like you're agreeing to something but then saying that you're kidding. KJK.
Yeah. Oh wow, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, that's fun. Listen, we got to get out of here for now, but I'm serious about bringing you back for another episode because you know, we would love to know more about your name and also get any kind of sugar glider updates, like if you broke down and got a new one.
Yeah,
do you have a name picked out for your next one?
No, I don't. I'll probably just do something real unoriginal like Gizmo 2 or something.
Yeah, well, I was thinking maybe Rizzo would be fun because it's that Muppet rat named Rizzo.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got two Z's in it, so it's kind of like paying tribute to both of your previous sugar gliders in one.
The Z theme going
in one name. What would you like to promote at this time? Because obviously, the second coming of John Cooper, we look forward to that coming out, but that's not going to be for a while.
Yeah, especially because on day 10, our hard drive and backup hard drive crashed. So
what?
Oh no.
So for the past month, it was a 13-day shoot. So 10 of those 13 days have been at a data recovery center. And they are just about done recovering the rest of day 9. So I'm a little bit behind the ball on the post-production process.
Now, not to make this about me, but which day did I shoot?
You were day 1.
Okay.
So you are safe. You have been recovered.
Yeah, I got recovered first.
Yep. As well, you, as well you should have.
I assume. all right. So what do we have to plug in lieu of plugging the movie at this time? Your socials, your name is something about Kevin Kraft's a jerk off or something like that.
Yeah, my Twitter is at Kevin Kraft Sucks, but I don't really use that too much anymore. But my Instagram and Threads are just at Kevin Kraft. I think my Letterboxd is as well. And if you're curious about the second coming of John Cooper, there's an Instagram page for that. It's just at John Cooper Movie. I've been trying to post some non-spoilery behind the scenes pictures and footage here and there just to keep people interested until we get this finished and find a home for it.
Right on, right on. Doug Mallard, what do you got to plug?
Well, I will be performing and hosting for this local amazing organization here in Austin, Texas called the Other Ones Foundation that helps the homeless community. I'll be at a gala next week from Saturday, the 11th, November 11th. It's an all-day affair from 12 till 10, and I'll be performing there alongside the hip-hop group Farsight and Brownout there, Heartburn, a bunch of great bands. It's going to be an awesome day, and it's a great way to put money towards a good cause. So come on out to that at the Esperanza Community here in Austin.
What yeah, if you, you have if you have a time machine, go back a few hours and check out Doug at the Red Room at App City Comedy tonight. In Austin,
which
Texas
yesterday.
Tonight, yesterday night, or whenever, or whenever this gets listened to. Some Kevin Kraft fan, like down the road, like John Cooper is going to come out and for the second time, and they're going to look up Kevin's name on the internet. They're going to find this podcast to hear and learn more about Kevin. And then they're going to be really behind on getting to that show tonight. my plugs include Cleveland this Saturday, two shows, Doug Loves Movies in the afternoon and stand up later that night at Dunlap's Comedy or Corner Bar, Dunlap's Corner Bar in Cleveland this Saturday, November 4th, San Antonio, Texas, December 2nd, Doug Loves Movies at 4:20 in the afternoon. And it looks like our friend Doug Millard is going to be one of the guests on that show. So
yeah.
If you're in San Antonio or anywhere in Texas, it's worth the drive to come out to LOL Comedy Club. That's the name of it. And all of my dates are at douglovesmovies.com. Got two different monthly shows running in LA now. the Benson movie Interruption and Doug Loves Movies, and they just sort of alternate every 2 weeks. If you want to come see me do something movie related, you can do that in Los Angeles. DougLowesMovies.com. Thanks again to Kevin Kraft. And we always end every episode with what ends up being the show title. And I think I came up with it. You know, it's not the snappiest title in the world, but I think it's appropriate for this episode. So, as always, the second coming of Doug.